I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media News. Former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has been pursuing an appeal of his corruption conviction and 14-year prison sentence. On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court said it would not take up the case. To find out what's next for the former governor, Illinois Public Radio's Brian Mackey called up Natasha Karecki, Politico's top reporter in Illinois. She covered the Blagojevich trials for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Natasha Karecki, welcome to the program. If you could just remind us what it was that Rob Blagojevich was convicted of.
Seems like so long ago now. but indeed, Rob Blagojevich has served 4 years in prison already. And he was convicted of 18 different counts. Five of them were later thrown out, but they basically revolved around the sale of the U.S. Senate seat at the time that Barack Obama was president-elect. And Rob Blagojevich had the sole power to appoint his replacement, and he was convicted of selling basically that to the highest bidder. He was also convicted in some other counts that included attempting to leverage his power as governor to extract different campaign contributions.
Yeah, and part of his corruption conviction rested on a lot of wiretaps. The FBI had tapped a number of phone lines of he and some of his top advisors and allies, as well as, I guess, put a bug in his campaign office.
Look, I got to tell you, I don't want to be governor for the next 2 years. I want to get going. The whole world's passing me by, and I'm stuck in this job as governor now.
So Rod Blagojevich felt he was stuck in the job as governor. The jury, after first being a hung jury, there was a retrial on all but one count, and he was convicted, sentenced to 14 years in prison, and now he's appealing. What is the basis of his appeal?
One of the things that they're arguing is that the jury instructions to the jury were way too broad, and that it made the standards so low that any politician could be jailed. They'd really hoped that the Supreme Court would take up this case and really give some direction on when do you cross the line as a politician? When is it horse trading and when is it not? And one of the things that Rad Blagojevich during the trials was that he kept saying repeatedly, but was not allowed to say it in front of the jury, was that he did not intend to break the law because he thought what he was doing was lawful.
And I think you were there that day when he had that news conference with a lot of press and onlookers and a helicopter flying above outside his house in his Chicago neighborhood. And he spoke to that very point.
Everything I talked about doing when it came to campaign fundraising and political horse trading, I believed was on the right side of the law. The decision went against me. I'm responsible for the things I've said. I accept that decision as hard as it is. And the law as it stands right now is that I have to go do what I have to go do, and this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
So Natasha, the governor, or ex-governor at that point, said the law as it stands right now, indicating he was clearly hoping it would change, but the U.S. Supreme Court is leaving the law as it stood then and as it is standing in the future now.
That's right. You know, what he was trying to argue was that, look, people do this all the time. I mean, they argued that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in 2008 made a similar deal because Barack Obama ended up taking care of some of her campaign debt, and she later was appointed U.S. Secretary of State. But what the Seventh Circuit found was that they did agree with him that if you are attempting to trade one act for another act, as in one job for another job. So what he was trying to get a job for himself, or he was trying to appoint Valerie Jarrett, not get anything monetary in exchange. They said that was horse trading. But where they drew the line was in lots of these other conversations, when he's talking about specific dollar amounts, when, you know, there's that one, what he believed to be a $1.5 million offer to appoint Jesse Jackson Jr. to the Senate seat. Those are the conversations where the Seventh Circuit at least said that clearly crossed the line. And there is a ton of evidence, recorded evidence, as you pointed out, Brian, where you are discussing getting a monetary value for it. That's when it crosses the line. What people often forget is these other counts, including when he is on tape talking about trying to get money in his campaign fund and holding up specific acts, not related to the U.S. Senate seat, but to Children's Memorial Hospital and, you know, the horse racing. I think some of that ended up getting thrown out, but what he did in those conversations essentially was saying, I'm not going to do what you want me to do until I get money in my campaign account. And that, again, is a point where the Seventh Circuit said you cross the line there.
So I'm glad you mentioned the Seventh Circuit. They did end up throwing out, I think, five of the counts that were against him. And so that's kind of where we have some questions about what happens next, right? So the federal government could decide to retry him on those counts that the Seventh Circuit tossed. He could be resentenced. Do we have any idea of where that's going to go next?
Well, it certainly does not seem as if the government is going to retry Rod Blagojevich. I mean, for one thing, I believe that every prosecutor on that case has left the office, one of whom is a judge right now. They would have to really start from scratch. And there's so much evidence in the record. I just cannot see them doing that at all. And looking at the other side of it, the five counts that were thrown out, there's a complicated system with sentencing, with federal rules and federal guidelines, and how it works is that essentially he could end up getting the same sentence even with the five counts thrown out. So now Judge Zagel seems to have the green light to schedule a sentencing hearing and resentence Rod Blagojevich. He could get a little bit of time shaven off the 14-year sentence, maybe a couple years. But hey, when you're the one serving out that time, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I was just looking at the Federal Bureau of Prisons website. It says he's set for release May 23rd, the year 2024. He'll be 67 years old. What do we know about what his time has been like in prison? He's been very quiet, no interviews that I've seen. Do we know anything about what he's been doing behind bars?
Yeah, the extent of what we know is just through his attorneys and what they've said in various interviews. And that's included the former governor giving prison classes on Civil War and history. And everyone knew him as a history buff. And if you followed the trial at all, he was on the stand for eight different days. And we knew in painstaking detail all of his admiration for various historical figures and so forth. So that's not that surprising. He also reportedly, in one of the stories that came out recently, was singing in a band, in a prison band, which partially broke up because one of his band members was let out of prison. So that, you know, I'd have to recruit somebody new. But what is unique and different than what we'd known of him for all these years was how quiet he's been. He's not given any interviews. And this was the guy who was on Celebrity Apprentice, and his wife was on a reality TV show. He was giving press conferences left and right in the middle of a trial. You know, some say that when he finally was sentenced and he received that really real big blow of a sentence, that he finally said, okay, I better just listen to my lawyers and shut up.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Natasha, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Natasha Korecki is a reporter for Politico, where she also writes the Illinois Playbook, a daily email newsletter roundup of political news from across the state. I'm Brian Mackey.